So we're holding over here in Perik Dalet Pasuk Asvav Pirush Beis. Okay.
Yeah.
It says Shlachayach Paris in Meinim Fi Megodim Kefarim Im Nerodim Shlachayach Oimer Afilo Beis Hashalchim Shlachahim Toivim Oid. Even the fields that are watered and irrigated, like I said before, they're very, very toivim. Behein pardes, uganja remoinim. They're like a pardes. Bechoshev kan yud gimel dvarim, mayim ganim ber, mayim chayim, noizim levonim, chashuvim ke'echod, v'yesh kan yud gimel shein tesvav. Vanim shalhu, yud gimel midas, that are shein beis ashalchon shal Yisrael. Like we said before, the Yud Gimel Midas, we spoke last time, are the Beis HaShalchon of Kal Yisrael, the sense that even when things are dry and there's nothing internally, there's something coming externally that's able to water it. Behein Yud Gimel Midas. Now, Yud Gimel Midas is a big machlokes, Rishonim and the Goyim, the Arizal. Everybody has his way of counting them, what those Midas are. So we'll see the way he does it. We'll keep looking on the bottom. He cross-references it with the Goyim in other places. So we'll keep looking. Kale. So he doesn't say over here what kale is. He just says kale. In the Aderes Elio, he says, is a Baal Koyach Gadol. Kale actually comes from a musig of being very powerful. And the question is, how does that come into what one would think of Midas HaChesed of some sort as being super soft? The powerful is not the word you commonly use. The answer is no. This is, in order to overturn mahalchim of din, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in the world a mahalach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that mahalach to stay, and any changes requires a tremendous effort, kavayochel, you know, it's effort in the sense that you're overturning a whole mahalach of din. So the first thing is kale. And he brings different places where it's Yeshla El Yodi. In other words, the ability to help in difficult circumstances against great odds also requires a p'china of kale. Rachum, piyush shemerachem be'eis tzara. Now, the difference between chesed and rachum, the Goyen says, is chesed means I have a natural inclination to do good. So I decide I'm living a life that's selfish and I'm just working for myself. And that's it. Let me go out and see how I can help other people and do good things for other people. That's chesed. Rachamim is the other way around. I walk in the street, I'm seeing somebody who's hungry and starving, and I open up and say, you know, here, take something. So it's a midah that is triggered by the person's plight as opposed to what I'm really inclined to give. So it's a stronger midah rachum in the sense that even in cases where I wasn't going to give this, when I say, listen, look at what this person needs, and that's where we have that from. L'chanun, p'ir sh'oisem achmas chayim, afil adova she'netzor kol kach. Take a look down at the bottom. He's quoting the Eretz Hayo. Rachum b'chanun, shneim loshen rachmanis. One is mitzad ke'ivoyishu osher grosu zayyotze. So even more than I plan to give, I'm giving because of the person's tzara tzara. Beis mitzad avosei lakma avlev noi, shenoi sechem bein noi sechom ishaloisa. So the fact that it's an overstepping of what is warranted because that has a certain chen. So again, this is a midah that we evoke especially when on the surface, by the books, you don't deserve to have anything, but lemaisa, I'm doing a certain, but because this person has some chayin, that's why we do it. The chayin, let's understand how it refers by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So rachem is a midah that we can understand by Kadosh Baruch Hu, because to be merachem on someone who's a nitzrach is a good midah. L'chorachain to us seems to be a whim. In other words, why do they like this person? Because he's good, he's a mensch, he's handsome, he's this, he's that, the works. Why do you like this other person? I don't know. I just have a weakness for him. So that's kind of a human weakness. It's basically saying there's no reason in the world but, which is a very hard thing to put on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what does that mean when we talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu? So what it means is, let's go back to the mashal. There are certain inyanim and beauty that are standard. It's symmetry, color, this, that. So when I see a beautiful house, so there are objective things I can give for it. I can say X, Y, and Z, and those are the reasons why this house is so nice. And why are you so attracted to this and this person? This person has these milas and so on. Chain is my house, my child, where it's the pshat is, what attracts me here is the nekuda, some hidden nekuda of atzmius. It's my child. It's a piece of me. It's my house. It's not a whim. It's not like an aberration. It's something which has a very deep nekuda that maybe I can't describe on the surface, but it's there. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, the chain of Klal Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because Klal Yisrael, even when anything visible is covered with nonsense, but tachlis bepnimius, there's a nekuda that's called li, and you know, it's something that shaykes to Rebbe Yisrael, and that's the chain that it has.
So, Rebbe, is this specific? I mean, I'm not sure if I understand precisely, because I could understand one midah of, there's a concept of I see a certain person on the street, and in a chanami, I can't describe exactly what makes me fond of them, but there's a nuanced fondness which I can appreciate. Maybe it's the fact that they're timid, you know, soft-spoken, whatever it is. But then when it comes to children, it's the fact that I identify with them. And I think from what I understand, like psychologically, there's this concept of the rule of reciprocity, which two people, I do something for you, you do something for me. And that's essentially how relationships build and people connect, because they identify in, you know, this kind of interaction and they see themselves in the other person. So is fondness, is this chain that we're saying, is it a fondness because there's just a positive, you know, who can hate a guy who's just kind and generous with everyone around them? You know, that's something that I would be fond of. But it's not necessarily me. My kid is that I identify them, a relationship that I have with another person.
But it's something that's, it's intangible, and chen it means not for no reason. Chen means for no identifiable reason. There's a deeper nekuda. So sometimes it's easy to say, like, because it's mine. So just like I always think well of myself, and my child, I see myself in it, despite the fact that he may not look like me, despite the fact that he may be giving me around for my money, but tachlis, I see myself in it. When I see, anytime I see some self, so chen is a, and then when there's a person that everybody likes, despite the fact it's hard to see what, it means there's an elusive nekuda somewhere in the person. And that elusive nekuda is something which is the pnimis of a person, tapping into chayin means a Kadosh Baruch Hu finds in us a deeper nekuda. Now, this nekuda of self also is shayach to Klal Yisrael. So the general sense of chayin is a hidden nekuda which we can't put a finger on, but it's still maishach. And there is a special subcategory of that. One of the strongest, most powerful, these elusive nekudas, is identification of self, and that's also shayach to Klal Yisrael. And therefore, it's a filah davish ein tzorach kol kach, because rachmim is you're hungry, you're starving, so it brings out everybody's achmanis. The fact that you haven't had a new suit in the last 2 years, okay, but it's wearable, it's okay. I'm not going to have rachmanis, but if it's somebody that I want to see that he should look different and special, I do bring it out. Okay, the next midah is Erech HaPayim. nechshav l'shnayim, he says l'rishayim v'letzadikim. So this is very, very interesting. This is based on the Gemara. Take a look in his footnote 240.
So Rabbi, with all of these footnotes, when the Gaon wrote this, was this like when the Paiskim referenced the Gemara and they understood that you would know all of their writings? Did the Gaon expect that you would be cross-referencing?
The Gaon wrote extremely obscurely. Kedarkim Kodesh, like a Bira Grosh Haruch. You know, first of all, knowing the Gemara's that he quotes.
Right.
Secondly, it's knowing which part of the Gemara, because the Gaon, it's on the dot. And then finally, what do you want from that Gemara? Why this Gemara, not that Gemara? The bottom makes it just easier. It makes sense that the Gaon would be consistent. And here he doesn't explain anything. I dare say it does. This Gemara in Erech HaPayim L'Shon Tzadikim is a Gemara. It's coming off a Gemara. Mm-hmm. Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu went up and he said, you know, Erech HaPayim, he said, L'Tzadikim, Kachbol Tzadikim, Ulu Rishayim. His chiddush is that his chiddush is these are two separate midas, and he quotes the Gaon. Let's take a look. He brings the Gemara. Amar chayu teva shor madich siv erech apayim erech af biboyle. It should say erech af. El erech apayim tzadikim erech apayim l'roshoyim. And Taisa says over there, these are two separate midas. Rashi says over there, also same thing. He brings Rashi. And then it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, he told, he doesn't bring this Gemara, but he told Moshe Rabbeinu, Sadekash Baruch Hu should be only for Tzadikim, he said for Hashem also, and so on. So I want to explain this. Where are the two midas coming to Erech HaPayim? I want to talk a little about this. The Midah of Erech HaPayim in many ways is the core Midah of these Midahs of Vitur. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu never ever forgoes the bottom line. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always, in Midas Adin, he exacts whatever needs to be exacted. There is no doing away with things. What he does to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is He extends credit. And Tulsa Sharon says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is marich af, begavi delay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has arichas apayim, and therefore he is a, it's something which a midah of, let's call it credit, like credit. Now, there are two reasons why I give somebody credit. So Moshe, somebody comes along and says, I'd like you to invest $1 million in this venture. So one thing that prompts it is because you have a very good track record. Listen, I've invested with you a dozen times, and each time the money came with the expected returns, and it's mamish good. The second reason is if you're offering a tremendous payback, and it's Habah Talia. So let's say I have very little record with you, but you're offering a type of return that really, really is beyond anything. The riskier the loan, the higher the return has to be. There's also room to extend credit. So the Erech HaPayim LeTzadikim is built on the previous track record. Being that I'm a tzaddik, and I've been doing good things all the time, and anytime you trusted me, I came through. So b'mayrach af. That's Erech HaPayim built on what was. The Russia comes along and says, my track record is lousy. But it says, v'yavoy rechoykim v'yavilach ha-kesem lucha, that people far away are going to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu kesem lucha. So that's something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to, it's an appeal for Erech HaPayim based on returns. If I, who am not a tzaddik, and I really, really am not done very well, am about to go and do something really good, that's a reason to wait for that and to give me Erech HaPayim. Mm-hmm. Noitze Chesed.
Rabbi, do we say this, you said, of Erech HaPayim in the other direction for the Russia also? Don't we find in places concepts of the Rabbi Shalom doesn't bring punishment right away or will bring the rewards to the Rasham because ultimately he wants to punish them?
So that's a terrible midah. That's a midah ra. In other words, Mishal Hussainim al-Ponav lahavide is a midah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to finish off. It's like Lamashal. Let's say I don't like partnering with you and I don't like your business. I'll come to you and say, okay, let's make a cheshbon. I'm buying you out and give me 20% premium on what it's worth. That's not because I want to reward you so much, because I want you out of the business. So take what you have and I'll add something to just to make it worth it and go. Someone told me Meiser once, he knew Reb Noach Weinberg's father. Reb Noach Weinberg's father his father's grandfather, I don't remember. His father came from Tveria. I think it was Reb Noach Weinberg's grandfather. He lived in Tveria. He owned a mill. And he was a very big Oyver Hashem. Very, very big Oyver Hashem. Like all the Weinberg, they had like this fiery... and in Tveria, it was extremely hot. There was not even no air, there's no fan. There was nothing. And he used to get, so in the summer you sweat a lot, he always used to get like these rashes. In the summer, that was, it's a one day he comes to whoever else it was, one of the Slonimers, Canaan in Tveria, Mamish Oismensch. He says, it's already Tammuz and I don't have a single rash. Vey. This is, it's mamish a hanhaga of Mishal Hussainim al Panov. And then a week later he came back, Simchat Torah, says, Baruch Hashem, I'm rash all over, it's itching like crazy. I'm good. Someone told me this, knowing the person, I don't remember who it was, a long time ago, he told me a story. Okay.
Don't we use that to explain Russia of a Toivoy?
What?
Don't we use that to explain?
Yes, correct.
Russia
with Tavoy is expansion. Correct. In other words, that's on Hugger. That's on Hugger. Really, it looks like Toiv, but its core is to get rid of the Russia, which is a terrible thing.
So it's not considered part of the Erech HaPayim.
Yes, Adram. That's not. Noitzer Chesed Pirush Schusavis. So Noitzer Chesed means he holds the Chesed for a long time. He doesn't pay it back immediately. He stores it, and that's where we have Schusavis. Lalafim. Pirish shezeches chus kol dor vador le'alofim, that every schus it gets paid back from for thousands of doiris. Noise oven v'pesha v'chatov v'nakei. Those are all, you know, all of these are midas of the seis oven. Each one of them, and they count as separate. Because the Nesi of Ovum, the Nesi of Per, Nesi of Hatar, are all separate, and Nake. Behine, Hashem, Hashem, Ashlimim, Letesvav. The two Shemes of Hashem are Mashlim to Tesvav. So Yud Gimel, you have, Yud Gimel, the thing means this afterwards, and you are Mashlim. What does it mean, Hashem, Hashem is Mashlim Tesvav? One is the Shem Hashem for Shechta, one is after Shechta. So this is a problem in Gersa here. Kamoy loy sholim ubas v'shlim. Take a look. He has the Lush and the Gersa better. Take a look in 249. The Hashem Hashem Pasik Taima, and he says that the first Shem Hashem is Koidim Shechta, that the Rachmim is before his Chet, even though he knows that Kachva is going to be Chayte, and the second is after the Chet, when this time it's ironically the kapara will be shalem, the tshuva will be shalem. In other words, the rachmanis before the chet still is going to confront the chet. It still has the chet coming. The second Shem Hashem is Sholem. It's after the chet, when now there'll be a tikkun, and he'll do tshuva, he'll be mash himself. Sechori means they don't have as much rachmim. So he says, what are these numbers kineged? So v'koal yud beishvatim v'im Yaakov v'yud gimel u'klal ha'ovis Avram v'yitzchok hein tesvav. So the number of yud gimel and tesvav and so on are all that's the midas rachm. I want to talk about this a little bit. Why did Gimel Midas Kineged Yudzei Shvatim V'im Yaakov? I mean, why is it them more than anything else? So Yud Gimel in general is Echad is Gematria Yud Gimel. So Echad, it means that you have a tzirif of Yud Gimel to make Echad. It means that 13 is a number, it's a hischalkus, that when you say it out in letters, it's echad. So it's like ironic, yud gimel in counting is echad in dibur. Now, it means it's an echad that consists of a composite of different elements, kiyadua. So echad is either one plus eight rekiim and dalid ruchais, or the shvatim, the ches b'nei rochel leah, the dalid of the b'nei shvachais. Those are all different hischalkias that come together as echad. That's where you get echad. The midas harachamim that we're talking about, yudgimel midas, are the midas that are needed when things fall apart. In other words, when everything is running smoothly, you don't need it. It's you need these midas to be mavel midosav when things fall apart. So what's needed for these midas is when everything goes flying. I don't want to use the word the shvira of the kelim, but that's the idea. Whenever there is a breakdown, that's when you have your gimel. Lemaisa. The chura yud gimel, the midas of being mavel midosav seem to be counter the understanding that Ribbono shel Olam is one and everything fits into a picture. Because lemaisa, here you have exceptions. Any exception to the rule tells me that the rule is not such a great rule. So what kind of inyan is it over here that we have all these exceptions? And the answer is because the answer is that adarabba, when all the yud gimel midas, which seem to be the most baffling halakim, looking at the halakim, they don't seem to make any sense. The number 13 doesn't divide anything, doesn't multiply anything. It's a prime number and means nothing, goes nowhere. But when you speak it out, it's echad. So these yud gimel midas, each mid in itself doesn't seem to show you any sense of seder or hanhag or kavua of any type. But in the big picture, yud gimel midas is what allows, is what makes the bria come together in the end, do tshuva and return to Ribbono shel Olam. So, connected the Shvatim are the ultimate Ischalkus. With Yaakov, you get your Gimel. And then the Klal of Zavam Yitzchak is Tesvav. These are more Shroshim Dikinyanim. Bechein b'mishkan, Zav v'kesev v'nechayshes, Yud Gimel Dvarim. There are 13 things listed in the Mishkan. V'hinei avnei shoyam v'amibluim v'shemen, ho'yitzarech ha'mishkan v'shim Tesvav. So again, you have a clear haluka between 13 and two more, which is something that's more kailal or it's an Indian that someone's mashlim. The what's interesting is the so here he lists actually three over here. Yishtabach, you also have an Asik in terms of the Nusach, whether you're going to have all of them, whether you have 13, 15 Shvaches. So the 13 itself, it goes like this. And I guess it's all coming from the obvious Nishvatim. 12 is the ultimate Nishalkus. The 13th Nekuda makes it Echad. The Aleph, without the Aleph, Echad is Chesen Dalet, that's the Nishalkus. Put the Nekuda of Aleph and it comes together. And the Nekuda of Aleph has a Sheirish and a Sheirish Hashrasha. That's more or less the general pattern of the 13 and 15 that he's talking about over here.
When Rabbi says that we have a breakdown of the Echad and that that's when everything falls apart, are we talking about the breakdown in the universe of the human being, that when the person breaks down and that's when we're stuck with other pieces, or is it Klal Yisrael as a whole and that's when...
Both are correct. Each person on his own, when he does enough chet that he deserves to be destroyed, Chas V'Shalom, that's a breakdown of the Tzuras Adam. And then you have the Klalistic picture of Klal Yisrael, and they're parallel to each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, I think we're going to hold it here.